Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, your Poetic Energy herself,
bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves
live
at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881.
That's 917-932-8881.
Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183.
That's 1-877-218-1183.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. I am your host, Poetic Energy, and I am so glad because this is the conclusion of our two-day conference on Finding Your Way to Love. We are going to get started very shortly as soon as some of our panelists arrive. If not, I will keep the show going on because we did have some people message me with some questions that they had. And they wish to remain anonymous with some of the questioning. And one of them just wanted to give out some helpful hints on good first dates. So we are going to go ahead and start you off with a little bit of music to kind of, you know, set the stage here with the theme of being in love and until some of our guests arrive in the building. But I want to start off with saying that, you know, the true essence of love is, you know, being able to be with a person that you really, truly enjoy, that loves you and, you know, they love you back. And there's no pressure, there's no strain to love you. You know, if you are in a relationship where it's a strain for the both of you to love one another, then nine times out of ten, that's not a great relationship to be in. But I'm reminded of so many, you know, times, you know, back in the day where they wrote up music that, you know, expressed how they really felt about their partners. And, you know, I miss all the music, you know, from back in the day. You know, you're talking about the 70s, because that's when I was born in the 70s. But growing up here, and my uncles and, you know, people in my family singing some of that music, when you listen to some of the words, it just, you know, has so much sentimental and special meaning when a person truly loves somebody, that they really express it. And I think that a lot of times people have difficult times these days expressing true feelings, especially men, because they have friends that get on them about, you know, being too soft. And there's a difference from being soft and you know, a jelly back than it is truly loving somebody and truly expressing it. And I think that men should not allow, you know, their boys to control how they express their love for someone that they're with. And I think that's you know, a definite hindrance in the way men display love sometimes, because they, you know, feel like they don't, you know, it's a macho thing, so they don't want to express love for a woman because of what they, you know, they feel the boys are going to think or say about them. But, you know, this is one of my all-time favorites, Stevie Wonder with "A Ribbon in the Sky," and then we'll go ahead and get the discussion started after we've played this for you, because, you know, I do want to answer these questions, and perhaps that'll give our panelists a little bit of time to tune into the show and so that I can connect them in. All right, without further ado, we're going to have "A Ribbon in the Sky" by Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Thank you.
All right, that was Ribbon in the Sky by Mr. Stevie Wonder. That is such a lovely song. It's really, really expressed the sentiments of what real love and true love is truly all about. I cannot say it enough how the music back there really just, you know, did something from the heart, for the heart, and expressing true love to the one that you won't wish to love. And so we're going to keep it going. We're still waiting for our some of our panelists to arrive. But we're going to keep the show going. And I am going to attempt to answer one of the questions that was emailed to me or messaged to me through Facebook. One person wanted to know, give me some more hints on good first dates. I kind of shared with everyone yesterday about a date that I went on. Someone took me to a football game, and I really had a ball. So I think that, it was a wonderful, great date for me because first date for me because it showed that it showed him that I was flexible. It also told him that I was willing to, you know, meet him halfway with, you know, getting to know, you know, engage in some of the things that he likes. And it was just a wonderful first date, and I really shared that with everybody to get people more open, especially us women. We need to be more open and not automatically think that a guy is trying to be selfish if he tries to take you to a game. Because like I said yesterday, I had a ball, and he took me to a live football game. I probably would have never went on my own. The tickets were in several greatly expensive, so I definitely probably would not have went on my own. But I was so happy that he did that for me because it taught me something to be more open. Even as a woman now, you know, I learned to be open about, you know, doing new things and not cringing if someone, you know, wants to do something that I'm not normally used to, because you never know what you will enjoy. You know, until you try it. The only thing, you just make sure as long as it does not go against your principle as a woman, your personal stand as, you know, as far as whatever your religious stand is, and it doesn't compromise you as a woman, then, you know, I feel, or degrade you as a woman, then I feel that you should be pretty open to new ideas, because that's, you know, a lot of us find ourselves in a place of being single because we're not open, and we don't want to go out with the brothers who may want to take us to a game because we feel like they're being selfish. And, you know, sometimes it's not even that. You know, if you're trying to get to know a person, then you should want to engage in some of the things that they like. You know, it's not to say that you have to do that all the time, but, you know, every now and again, and I think that's a big strain on relationships today, is because people do not compromise just on simple things. If you can't compromise on just, you know, going out to places, really, you know, long term in a marriage, you definitely will not make it. And I think that a lot of times people don't, going into relationships in the beginning stages, people don't really even think about. Nowadays, people are just coupling up and not really talking about their relationships. I don't think people really get to know one another seriously. That's why I was saying in yesterday's show that I do not go on a first date to a movie, because you're not getting to know a person, or that person is not getting to know you. For that whole hour and a half of the movie, there's no talking, you know, or if there is, very minimal, and you're not really getting to know that person. So I don't think going to a movie is a great first date. So I'm going to answer the question that was sent to me to give some more hints on good first dates. Yesterday we said the game. That was good. And you may not think that we got to know each other through the game, but he learned a lot about me, and I learned a lot about him. And that is the purpose. He learned that I was flexible, and, you know, I can, you know, go with the flow. And I learned about him that he was not a selfish person. He just wanted to help me open up to new things. And, you know, to put the icing on the cake, after even the game, he did something that I like, and really, you know, it told me that he was paying attention to some of the things that I like, because he did not forget that, just that little detail, and just made the moment and the evening so special, and it kept me with fond memories. And I remember all of that to this day, and it was just a special moment the whole night. But another good first date is like indoor amusement. Now, you may not think that you can really get to know a person with playing games or different things like that, but you really can. And it also helps you break the ice and kind of open up to one another, because usually you are very nervous when you go on the first date. Even if you've known that person in the past, you're very nervous when you go on a date. And it's just, you know, a natural process when you're dating, that to get nervous when you're trying to impress someone or trying to really get them to like you or what have you. It's very nerving sometimes, and going to indoor amusement. And the reason why I say indoor amusement, because it's not so massive with the, you know, a lot of rides and stuff, and it's just merely games. They're like in Michigan. I'm in Michigan here, and they have a gentleman took me to a place called Dave and Buster's. And this is this huge indoor, you know, type of amusement type of situation where they have a pool, they have dinner where you can eat dinner, and they have where you can play games. And he took me that, and I had so much fun. I just could not, we went to that place several times because it was just that much fun. And this is a place that can fit for the family, friends, anybody, any type of environment. And it's the way they have it divided up in the facility that you still can get down and sit at dinner and have an intimate moment with that person just to get to engage in some great conversation. So, you know, that's a great, good first date, because also, you know, he kicked my butt in, the little football, basketball hoop games they have. And a lot of people may think that, you know, oh, that's for children. But if you think that way, you have to have some type of fun or excitement in your life. And it's not juvenile for adults to play these, go to an indoor amusement. That tells you that you're a fun person to be around. And those things that you're not realizing that a person is picking up, that you can be enjoyable. You don't have to have a stuffed shirt all the time. You can relax, kick back. And also, it makes you feel comfortable that, you know, you don't have to put on some fancy dress and all of that. You can just kick, you know, put some shoes on and some gym shoes on and some jeans and a nice shirt. And, of course, dial your face up, whatever you need to do. But it tells a man a lot about you as a woman, that you're really, you know, you can be flexible, you can be glamorous, but still casual and laid back. So, you know, these little indirect things, you kind of help you along the way with the dating. The next good hit, you know, good first date, I think, is dinner with live music. And the reason why I say live music is because that gives you, if you are still nervous and you're still like, okay, I just don't know what to do, I don't know what to say, having live music gives you a way to break the ice in conversating about the music, because that's a way for you to kind of engage in the dialogue and kind of break the ice that way. And plus, live music is just so beautiful and just really, really nice too. I remember a gentleman took me to a restaurant here called The Big Fish. And I don't know, that's been a while ago, but that place is a very, it used to be a very elegant place, so I don't know what it is like now, but it's really nice, and they had live music, and they had really different types of food. And I was so excited going out to that place, because I've always wanted to try fried legs, but I never wanted to spend the money, and I hate to say it, but I never wanted to spend the money to try them out, because, you know, depending on where you go, they can be quite expensive. But he took me there, and I tried it, and I absolutely loved the whole environment around the situation, because it was like we were able to relax. It was an intimate moment where we were able to talk and enjoy the music, and it was just very relaxed. And, you know, it's not a place where they rush you out. A lot, if you go to other restaurants, and especially like a fast-paced restaurant, they're trying to rush you out. But, you know, more upscale restaurants, that, you know, you can relax and just sit and chill. And so we did, and that's the good first day, is going out to places where they have live music. I highly recommend that, because usually the atmosphere is a little bit more Palmer. Whereas if you go to mom and pop type of restaurant, it may be more chaotic and it's just like too much going on. So, you know, a live music, dinner with live music is wonderful. Now, the next one is bowling. Now, the reason why I'm going to say bowling is because in between it's you're very relaxed. This person gets to know that you are flexible and that you don't mind having a little fun. And in between your bowling, you get to be able to laugh. You get to be your true self. And it's very important to be your true self when you're trying to get to know a person. You want to be authentic. You don't want to be fake because people can pick that up a mile away. I know I can. I'd rather be around someone that is truly themselves so I can know truly what I'm getting myself into. And, you know, these type of activities let you know that about a person. It lets you know that you can, whether this person is just, you know, so stiff-necked that they can't, you know, have a good time. You don't want to be with a person who can't have a good time, who always is so serious. And that's one of the things that I had to learn. Because you don't grow up knowing how to do things, knowing how to do. You become wise over time. And so, you know, I needed to know. I was very independent, and I'm still very independent, but independence should only go so far, women. I'm going to tell you the truth because so many of us question, especially around this time, why we are still single. You know, each one of us have our different stories and our different reasons. But one of the reasons, and, you know, brothers always say that, you know, women, you're independent women, they feel like you don't, you know, they're not needed by you, so they're going to just let you be independent. And sometimes you can take it to the extreme where you truly are independent and you all alone and on your own. So you never want to be so independent where you can't be bent a little bit, like you're just so straight you can't bend a little and be flexible. You got to be flexible because you'll find yourself always in a position where you're going through these spells because it's Valentine's, near Valentine's Day, and you don't have a significant other. You'll find yourself constantly in that position because you don't know how to be open to being flexible with our brothers, or whatever your preference is. I have like seven things on this list, but both are good first date because it just kind of breaks the ice for you also, and it gives you that intimacy where you can still conversate with one another and you can, you know, laugh. Like, one thing I do want to point out is that it also helps you. Because you cannot control a laugh. I'm sorry. When you have a moment and once that person hears you laugh, and most of us have these really huge, weird laughs, and if a person still stick around you when you have these unusual laughs, then you know they might be a keeper. So, that's one of the great points is just, you know, being able to be free and be loud and, you know, be able to laugh around that person that you're trying to get to know. Now, one of the ending, but this is more of a seasonal good first date, is picnic. Now, this is one of the most intimate and romantic at the same time, but it's a solemn romance, not, you know, something really deep, but it can help you get to know a person. And it also tells a brother that, you know, if they take you on a picnic that, and you enjoy yourself, that you're not all about how much money he got or how much money can you get him to spend, because it's not necessarily that a person is trying to be cheap when they take you on a picnic. You know, just take it for what it is. You're on a picnic. And not to put so much pressure on men when they, you know, choose to do something like this. You know, it could be that they are trying to watch their pockets, but and trying to show you a good time at the same time. So be a little bit open, women, about, dating, you know, because you can tell if somebody's being serious real or they're truly being cheap, you know. They may have a good reason to be cheap, but it's not like you're gonna, you know, you're marrying this person. Like I said last night, that a bit of advice that I like to give the sisters is to learn how to not look at men as your potential husband every time you go out on a date, because you set yourself up for failure in meeting that right person for you, because you're going through, you know, dating. It's like, oh, is this the one? And then when you find out he's not the one, then, you know, you set yourself up, you know, take it for what it is. It's a date. And I want to, you know, reflect a little bit back on one of the questions that we had yesterday about courting versus dating. Now, courting is a different thing, and people don't use that term today anymore, but I wanted to expound on it a little bit more than what we did yesterday, is that courting is a different situation. When you're courting, and we were talking this in the church, when you're courting, you are in the realm of, you know, like that gray area of being going down that aisle, because that's what courting is. You have decided that you want to take your relationship to another level, and that you guys are grooming yourselves for marriage. That's what a courting period is. But if you're dating somebody, dating is what it is. It's not exclusive. It's not, and until you get to the point, it's not exclusive with any one person. And you may be getting to know different people on different levels and at different times. That's what dating is, because you're not dating somebody. You're not seeing someone consistently. And I wanted to bring that point out because that term courting is not used, and so people get confused with that. And my heart gets saddened when a lot of women, when they do go out with a guy, they are in such a rush to make this person their significant other that they forget about anything else and not really think about, you know, I really had a good time with this guy. It was great. And just leave your emotions and your heart where they should be with you until, you know, it gets to the point where perhaps if you want to explore more with this person and vice versa, he, you, because then that'll keep yourself from putting yourself in a place of hurt, because you're already going in saying, oh, this might be my potential husband or my potential man. And he may not even, you know, most men are not at that point. They are truly just at the point where, you know, I'm dating, you know, I'm taking this, you know, young lady out and showing a good time. And if it's meant to go any further than that, then it will. But don't set yourself up for the possibilities of it not happening, because you will be the only one hurting, and he'll be, you know, progressing on into more new and exciting things. But anyway, back to the list. We have two more. One great first date is miniature golf. Now, I know most people probably don't like golf, you know, as a general rule that, you know, that people don't like golf. But miniature golf is so much fun. It is a great icebreaker, and I do not care if you play golf or not. Once you start trying to put that little ball in the hole, and you keep missing that ball, you keep missing that hole, it just brings you into an environment where you're happy and you're having fun with this person. And again, it's letting this person know how great you are as a, you know, you're flexible again. But these are seven good first dates. And you know, the list can go on, but I, you know, these are some things that I've tried, and I think that are very good first dates. So we're going to keep it going. We're going to take a quick commercial break here, and because we do have advertisers advertising on the show, so we are very excited about that. So we're going to take it, and I mean very quickly, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and we are going to address the other questions that we have that were sent into us.
Tomorrow's unknowns might be solved by asking yourself some questions. Does the thought of job loss, economic, or natural disaster have you worried? Have you ever thought,
how do I grow and store food? Could I hunt or fish if I needed to? Where would I get my drinking water? And how would I purify it? What are other people saying about the economy?
Find help and answers at shtfm.com. Learn new skills
at shtfm.com.
All right, folks, thank you. Welcome back to the Poetic Energy Radio Show with your host, Poetic Energy. I'd just like to acknowledge all of the people in the chat room. Thank you for tuning in to our two-day conference on finding your way to love. And in light of that, finding your way to love, I think a lot of people misunderstand that love is a process, and it's something that doesn't happen overnight. And there are steps that you need to take in order to get there. First off, and finding your way to love, is that you need to know who you are as an individual and be in a position where you're able to love someone truly from the heart. I did have a question that was sent in to me, and they wish to remain anonymous, so we are going to honor that. It's several parts to the question, but I am going to attempt to answer this part of the question. The listener yesterday sent in this question: how do I let my girl know that I love her, but I don't really know how to express myself like she wants? That's a very good question. Sometimes you really have to, it boils down to really communicating to this person in such a way, since you, it seems like you have, if there's an issue with expressing yourself in such a way, there are, just tell her, you know, that you have that, you know, you have that issue. It starts with that, because once you begin to let her know that you have a problem or issue with expressing love, then that opens up the gateway where you guys can talk about it, and the conversation will just automatically unfold. And because a lot of people do have issues with expressing love, especially if they grew up not knowing how to truly express that emotion, especially with male figures, if there was a lack of a male figure in your life and you didn't know how to, you were never really taught how to express love to a woman, but you feel that emotion inside of you, I think that, I think, you know, you truly can be to the point where you can express it by just, you know, sitting down with her and just saying that I have a problem with expressing love, and explain to her it's going to take some time to really open up to her and let her know that you do love her, because it sounds like you do love her. And so if you're able to even say just the least of those words, I love you, then that tells me right there that you're able to, you are able to love, and you can be brought to the point of expressing that love, because, you know, really, to be honest with you, you are expressing the love by initially saying, I love you. And get into practice of saying, I love you to her, because I know if you're in a relationship that you obviously love that person. So that's one of the ways that you can begin to, you know, just, you know, grab her by her hand, sit her down and say, baby, you know, I truly, truly, I love you. And you'll be surprised at how that makes you feel as a young man, that just saying those three little words, you know, out loud, and that can begin the conversation. And then you follow that with saying, but I have a problem with expressing it sometimes in the way that you wish for me to do so. So I just need you to bear with me and work with me. And if a person truly loves you, they will understand that. Truly understand that. So I hope I was able to answer that question, but that was a very good question, because it is a difficult time sometimes for people who didn't grow up in understanding how to express love. So it spilled over into their adulthood. So, you know, that was a very good question, and I hope I was able to answer that, but, you know, to your satisfaction. And I'm sure you'll let me know that because I was excited to even get that question. So the other question was that was sent in, and they wish to remain anonymous as well, and this was sent by a female. How can you 100% be in love with someone if you feel you don't really love yourself? That's a really, really deep question and a very relative question. One thing I like to say, let me break it down like this. To be 100%, that means you're whole. And the fact that you're saying that you don't even truly love yourself, that means that you're not whole. So the thing is that, you know, and I want to be very careful in answering this question, because obviously there's something else that's going on within yourself. And when you can't truly, I'm going to just be blunt with you, you can't truly love someone 100% if you don't love yourself, because you don't have 100% of yourself to give that person. So it you have to get down to the root of what is going on with your relationship. I don't know the full details of the relationship, but I do understand when a person is in a position and they have to ask them this question, that there is something definitely going on. But the answer is that you cannot truly love a person 100% if you can't love yourself, because it starts with self-love, loving yourself. You have to love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, you don't have ample love to give to someone else. So I'm hoping that question was answered. There were actually some more parts to that question. And the other part of the question is, I feel controlled in the relationship. That was more so a statement than a question. Again, if you don't love yourself 100% and you feel like you're controlled in that relationship, then there is a possibility that you definitely need to seek other professional help outside of the relationship. Perhaps the two of you can go to some type of counseling together, because if you choose to be together, because I never like to tell people to leave someone, because that's not my place to do that. But if you are having difficulties in your relationship and you're questioning your love for yourself and you're questioning him controlling you, then there is definitely an issue that needs to be addressed immediately, and you need professional help to be guided in that circumstance, so you can get down to the root of what the problem is. And see if you guys even need to still be in that relationship. But, you know, again, I will not be the person to tell you to leave a relationship. I would just tell you that it is time for you to seek professional guidance outside of your family or friends. You need you guys need to sit with, you know, down with one another, with somebody professionally that can guide you through the issues in your relationship. So I thank you guys for those questions that were sent in to me. We answered we gave out the first day hint, and we answered those two questions, which were very excellent questions. I am still waiting for, we had several people that are supposed to be on the panel this evening, but we do know circumstances change in people's lives, and they're always not able to do the things that they're, you know, they commit to doing. So we're going to keep the show going, because I think it's a very important show. Because anytime a person or people, send you questions, that means that this is a relative, subject. Because people always are searching for love, especially around these times. And this is part of the reason why I wanted to do the show, because, you know, I don't want people to sit around thinking or being depressed about being, you know, I know I can't stop everybody from, you know, being depressed around this time, but a lot of times people are so depressed around Valentine's Day because they don't have a significant other. But you know, they don't realize that you need to get down to the root of what's going on in your life that's keeping you from, you know, even having someone in your life to share this moment with or this time with. I had shared on the show yesterday about me, and somebody actually questioned me about it. So, you know, openly on the air, I will kind of expound on that. Yesterday I said that I do not celebrate Valentine's Day, but I would never tell anyone else not to do that. And this is just my personal stand. I chose not to celebrate Valentine's Day, not for any religious reasons, not for any depressed reasons or anything like that. But, you know, one day I just thought to myself, is that, you know, why do we condition men to love us on one day? And that's what it really is. And, you know, when I was, you know, doing dating different people, they would just do things for me just because. And that felt so much special to me, you know, just to think about you in the middle of the day and send you flowers. And it's not Valentine's Day. It's not your birthday. It's not any holiday surrounded about it. But, you know, they were just thinking about you. And so I took that personal stand in my own life, but I will not dictate anybody else's life. You know, if they choose to celebrate Valentine's Day, that's fine. And, I, you know, I don't think anything is wrong with if you choose to celebrate it. But that's my personal stand that I took for my life, because I felt like it felt so much special. And then it also kept me from being in a position where, you know, I'm not expecting anything, but, you know, here I get messages, I get flowers, or I'll get, sentimental things done for me just because. And I love that so much. And you'll find yourself just getting in and out of that mold. It's just like you're taking yourself out of a mold of, you know, and what society feels that, you know, you should be celebrating Valentine's Day. Or, and then, you know, coincidentally, I don't celebrate a lot of holidays, but again, it's not for any type of religious reasons, but it's just my choice over the years that I felt like all of these holidays are so commercialized, and you get so broken, you get so, it causes so much frustration and anxiety in people's lives. And those are minute things, but those things we can do without if we, you know, manage our own life. And that was just a part of me managing my own life, my thinking process, and ridding myself of this certain pattern of, you know, of the, you know, what we were taught growing up. So, you know, that's my personal stand. I know the person from Facebook is going to hear this, because, you know, he said if he didn't come to the show that he would catch it in the archives. But yeah, but a lot of men, until they get to know me, they don't believe me that when I say I don't celebrate Valentine's, I don't. And it's just something that I chose not to do. Again, it's, you know, I'd rather be loved all year long and not one day. And then it puts in, you know, people are not authentic. I don't want a person just to give me some candies in the car because they forgot, oh, it's Valentine's Day, and it's just, you know, I got to go get something. I don't want people to feel obligated to do anything like that. I want them to do it because they want to do it, and not because it's a day and a time stamped on the calendar that say that you should love me this day. So that's my own little philosophy. But, oh, well. And by the way, I still got things for Valentine's Day, and it's not even here yet, you know, so I don't know. Oh, all righty, we're going to keep it going. I told you the show could go on. I know people have, you know, we sent out notices, and, you know, a couple of people said that they were probably going to make it a little bit late, but which I truly, truly understand. One of the things I did want to cover also is the people. I was having a discussion with someone, and they were talking about the difference between a person loving you and saying "I love you" as opposed to saying "I'm in love with you," and there is definitely a difference, and so many people get those two phrases so mixed up. because if a person, they are really communicating to you their true feelings of how they feel about you. And a lot of times, I'm afraid when our, you know, we sometimes run with those three little words, I love you, and miss the but in the phrase, because when a person is truly, truly in love with you, there is nothing, it's just like their day is consumed with thinking about you. It's that, you know, they don't want to be without you. They love you to a point where nobody else, you know, no other woman matters. You know, and there's a distinct difference, ladies. So that's one of the things that I definitely want to make sure that I want to, you know, help women to, you know, look at more, be more, you know, more discerning about, you know, your own heart. Don't just give your heart to just any old person because, oh, he's a man, and right now you're at a point in your life where you're looking for a man. Anybody can get a man. Not everybody can get a man that truly loves them. So you got to know how you not to give your heart to just any old one just because. Because some people are very, you know, cunning, and they will use the word loosely, and it really has no meaning. If you think it, some people sometimes can make it flow with the words "I love you" so quick, and you will miss the message that they're giving you. You know, it's easy to say "I love you," but when they put those actions with "I love you," then you know it's real. And it's not about, and I'm not saying it's not about the what he's doing for you materially. So what does he do for your spirit? What does he do for your spirit? What does he do for your mind? Does he bring out the best in you? All of those things. A lot of us, you know, look over those things because a man should bring out the best in you. You know, no matter what it is, he should make you smile when you may not feel like smiling. Those are the different telltale signs of how you know that a person is really feeling you or is really into you. And, you know, I have a list of things that we were going to talk about this evening. One of the things I wrote, this is one sign that he wants to be in a relationship with you. If you're ready for a relationship and he helps you know it, and if your guy is on the same page, that is very important. You have to, in order to find your way to love, you have to be on the same page, because if you like two steps ahead and he two steps back, you are not on the same level or the same page. And that's what people start off on, because we buy into a fantasy, and you're the only person in the fantasy. So, again, around this time, this is just my way of just helping sisters to kind of be more enlightened to, you know, the dating thing, because dating could be very fun for you if you allow yourself to have fun and not go into a date thinking, you know, is this my husband or this is my mate, because then you are already off balance right there from the get. So, but that is one of the ways. If he is talking about, you know, the relationship and he's initiating the conversation about you being exclusive, then you know that you have something there, and you can work from there. But if you always got to be the person that's bringing up, so where are we in our relationship? So what? You know, if that's going on, then you're not on the path to you know, true love. You're involved with someone, and he may or may not be interested in taking it any further than, you know, the dating part of it, or you know, the intimacy part of it. But, you know, then that's a decision that you have to make in your own life, that, you know, if you truly want to find your way to love, then you have to make yourself available for love, the right type of love. Another telltale sign that a man is into you, and you definitely know that you're on your way to, you know, connecting with love, he doesn't keep you a secret. And I cannot, say this enough, that anytime you're seeing someone and you don't know anyone else in his circle, in his circle of friends, in his family, I would even venture to say a little bit on his job, then that is a telltale sign that you guys may not be on the path of being exclusive of one another or committed to one another. You know, because any time a man truly loves you, he will want everybody to know about you. And so, you know, we talked about that last night. He would definitely want people to know that, you know, this is the person that I'm with. This is the one person I love. And, you know, he would definitely not keep you a secret. And we talked about a little bit about another chosen sign. He will be able to communicate the words, I love you. And if he, you know, has a problem, like the young man who sent in the question, if he has a problem with expressing love, he will show you, because, you know, even if a person has a problem with saying I love you, usually they can express it in a way by their action. And so that, you know, you don't want to just because a brother don't say the words, but his actions show you that he loves you, then that is something tangible that you can work with. And but if he ain't showing you and he ain't saying the words, then that's another sign that, you know, is you're not on the path of finding that one and only true love that you seek. Ladies, I cannot express this enough, that if you're trying to get to know someone and he's always rescheduling, missing plans, I don't care who he is, I don't care if he's Donald Trump or Russell Simmons, a man that is truly, truly interested in you, he is going to make time. Everything that's on his calendar will see, and he will make time for you. And if you know, things do come up, but if you know that's a red neon sign going on that he's definitely not really into you, and he's not trying to build on any foundation with you as far as in a relationship, because he's not, you know, he's not dependable, or he's not even accountable for his own time, or, you know, it's a total disrespect, because he's not respecting your time that you perhaps are waiting for him, and, you know, he's not respecting you enough to even tell you that he can't make something. So, you know, those are a lot of telltale signs that you need to look out for in, you know, finding your way to love, because you can't find your way to love with a person that has pretty much been told you, you know, this ain't no love to be found there. So that's one very, very key point. One of the other things that is very good is when a guy wants a commitment, he will ask you lots of questions. And not questions just about, you know, your job or things of that nature. He will just ask real genuine questions to get to know you. He will want to know what you like, how you're feeling, what moves you, what your dislikes are. Those are the genuine questions that someone is trying to get to know you. Asking how much you make, you know, that's something, you know, that ain't even a question to be asking somebody unless you definitely are already at the stage of wanting to get married. I see that we have a caller here, so we're going to connect our caller here on the line. Good evening, caller. You are on the air with Poetic Energy. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, you have Lamar Anderson. I was just calling to let you know that I'm giving you the ultimate support and just touch bases with you. I don't have a question.
Okay. You just listening in?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm glad you have the opportunity to stop by and tune in. And we hope you're enjoying the information.
Okay. Yes. I thank you for inviting me.
You're quite welcome. All right. We're going to, should you have a question, I see your hand is raised. If you want to, are you signed into the chat room?
Not in the chat room.
Oh, okay. All righty. Well, I'll just check back with you periodically to see if you come up with a question.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you. I'm going to put you back on mute.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. We are so excited about this show. You know, I'm the type of person that the show must go on, because you never know if I touch or inform one person, that's all that is important to me. But again, getting back to if a guy is truly interested in you, he will definitely really ask you some questions, because he wants to know all about you, what moves you, what interests you. You know, so those are some very good signs that a man is really truly interested in you. And we kind of talked about that yesterday. How do you really know that a person is interested in you? And that's a key thing there. If a person is not trying to find out something about you, then, you know, you're way. I find that a lot of women waste their time in relationships. They go on getting connected with people who generally don't, you know, who see them as an opportunity and a convenience. You don't want to be somebody convenient love mate. If you truly want to find your way to love, don't make yourself available to someone who's not trying to love you. And I find so many of women who put themselves in a position just to be in a relationship. And I know it's easier said than done, but you have to know your worth and, you know, accept who you are as a woman and say that I am worth having somebody, you know, in my life that truly loves me and who will put in the time to spend with me and to cater to me and love me as well as, you know, you, him. So it's just really, you know, a point where you have to, you know, stop and assess what, you know, how you're addressing people that come in, either how you're allowing people to come enter into your life. Someone had made a point yesterday about people, you know, about getting into relationships that are very unhealthy for you. And a lot of times people always put on their game face initially when they're trying to, you know, gain somebody's interest. But you have to be very discerning also. You know, even though a person, I want to say this because, you know, just because people ask questions, it's always a great area when you're dealing with relationships. Just because a person asks a lot of questions or seems very interested, you still have to be very discerning, because people like to, and I'm saying people because I don't want to make it one-sided, because men and women, you know, do these things to one another, that sometimes people like to pick people who they know they feel like they can control, and so they pick that person and make them feel like they truly want to be in a relationship with them when they really don't. They just want to be in a relationship with somebody that they don't have to truly be accountable to, and that they feel would accept anything they got to dish out. Well, ladies, I find that, you know, a lot of us allow ourselves to be put in those positions because the brother is fine, or he makes, you know, he has this or he has that. He's great in bed. All of those things that we make decisions on being with a person that are not necessarily great things to look for, you know, when making that decision. Yes, I want to be with this, get to know this person a little bit better. And therefore, we do find ourselves in relationships for so long, you know, and then it becomes abusive because we're not happy. Your happiness should be the most important thing in your life. And one of the ways of knowing that if a person is going to make you happy, and I said this earlier, if he wants to know about what moves you, what excites you, and then, you know, when you're around him, he brings out the best in you, not the worst in you, but the best. And I'm not saying that everything is always going to be peaches and cream, but the most part, when you're with the right person, even if you have a disagreement or an argument, somehow it all meshes back together again. And that's the difference in being with a person that you should be with. And one of the things I do want to talk about, how superficial relationships have become. Everybody wants the skinny minis. Everybody wants the chiseled chest guys and the silky skin, the long hair. But you know what? I'm going to share an experience where I went out with one of the most wonderful guys that I have met in my lifetime. At the time, I was, you know, very, very skinny. But he was a, you know, a stockier guy. But he was just so, you know, so handsome, you know, and handsome on the inside. It wasn't about his physical, but he was so handsome and attractive on the inside because the way he and treated me as a lady. And it was just such a beautiful, and it was authentic. It wasn't nothing that he was trying to be. It was who he was because he did not skip a beat when he picked me up. He took me out. It was just his overall approach, and it was something that he was all about. And, you know, people, he had taken me to an event that he was having at his job, and people around him had nothing but wonderful things to say about him. And this is just how his everyday life was. He was a naturally, he was a funny person. He made me laugh. He was just a great person. And it was just the chemistry was there. It was just really, really sweet to meet a person like that. But he was heavy set, but he was and when I say he was well put together, he, you know, there are some men that love those creases in their pants. He was just so sharp. I would just smile every time I would see him because he would have this crease down his pants. It was pants that would be so perfect. And I just had to ask, I said, how do you get that crease? I thought he was putting his clothes in the cleaners and he was doing the creases himself. And I was like, what? But he was sharing with me that, you know, he grew up in a certain type of an environment, you know, where he was taught by women how to be a man. He grew up without his father, but he had a strong foundation. He knew how to treat women. He knew how to be respectful. He knew, I mean, he just had it all. He was just a wonderful guy. And I know somebody probably died to know why, you know, why we didn't, you know, stay in a relationship. But it wasn't really about, you know, sometimes people are just meant to be, give you that great experience in your life. And he had moved on, and certainly, you know, after knowing a person for 3 months, I'm not going to move to another state with them, you know, because he had gotten offered a great job. But, you know, he taught me, you know, he gave me a great experience and great memories. And it taught me not to be a person that's superficial, because if I had just looked at his size, I wouldn't have known how wonderful he was or how he could really show me a good time. And he was the epitome of what a man should be like on a, you know, taking a woman on a date. That's all I got to say about that. And he was just a wonderful person. But, you know, a lot of times we look at so many superficial things and we, you know, sit around during this time, during Valentine's Day, wondering why we don't have anybody, but we overlook those brothers that, you know, they may have a little bit of chunkiness to them or stockiness, but they're neat and they're clean. And, you know, we got those little things there. It's you keep yourself from finding love. Now, you know, I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. I had an issue with height. I just never liked to date short men. But when I thought about it, I'm like, why is it that I don't like to date short men? I just could never come up with a real good answer to why. You know, they're still, if they're a person that you enjoy yourself with and you're having a great time and it's not like you're marrying them or anything, and if you do, you've obviously gotten to the point where you know that you're supposed to be with this person. So why make that as a issue that I won't date a man because he's short? And I had to check myself on that, and it just, you know, that opened up different avenues in the horizon, because if he's like two, you know, I'm 5'6", so if he's, you know, a little bit shorter or meet me at the same, you know what, you know, why can't I date that person? I'm not dating his height. I don't want, his height is not going to change how he treats me as a lady. You know, I want somebody that respects me and treats me like a lady, you know, like I want to be treated. And so you can get a tall, fine man in your life, but he could totally disrespect you. All right, Lady Serenity. Yes, I do still have a preference of dating taller men, but I'm saying it's just, you know, when you're dating, you know, dating is just, you know, you're having a good time, you're having a great time, and you're getting to know people until you meet that right person. And I want to add that it's not when you're dating, that don't mean that you're being intimate with everybody that you're dating. You're just having a great time. But that's what I learned to open myself up to is knowing, you know, if we're having a great time, you know, it doesn't matter if he's tall or short. Is that, you know, I have a preference of, you know, the type of man, ideal man that I will have in my mind that I want to marry. But if he's short and we're just going out, you know, it should, you know, it really don't matter to me now because, you know, I've learned to look past that because I'm having a good time. It's better than just sitting at home and not, you know, and not letting the person show you a good time because he's short. You know, I don't know. Yeah, maybe someone want to call me in or call me out on that. Yes, I agree with Lady Serenity. She's saying in the chat room, some short men have issues because of height. Yes, they do. I've met some of those who, you know, feel inferior because of their height. But I've also met some wonderful men who don't care. They feel like they 7 foot tall. Because they know who they are as men, and they don't let their height get in the way, and they, you know, definitely you know how to treat a lady. So, you know, that's what's important to me is being able to be with some, you know, have a great time with somebody that's going to treat me right and respect me as a woman. All righty, we are going to go on to the next point. When you know that you are on your way to finding love or being in a relationship with a man that truly wants to be with you, one of the things he is going to want to be exclusive with you, and you will be able to know that he's not just trying to make you exclusive just so you won't date anybody else and he, you know, keeps doing what he's doing. Again, ladies, I feel like I try to tell even my friends to learn what discerning is, being discerning, because if you don't know how to pick up on these little, you know, subtle hints of, because we always see, the signs are always there when somebody is being deceiving. They're always there, but we sometimes choose to overlook them because we want to stay in a relationship that's not healthy. But when a man says that he wants to be exclusive for you and he makes that decision in his heart, it's just, you know, that means that he's been thinking about this, and, you know, he wants to be exclusively with you. So those are some of the signs that you could tell that, you know, you're in something that, you know, you're building up on, because he's coming to you saying that he's having a conversation about it, because most men don't like to have conversations about being exclusive with nobody, especially if they're not serious about it. And if they're not serious about it, they will not have that conversation with you at all. All righty. I want to take this moment to acknowledge the people in the chat room. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to tune in to Finding Your Way to Love. We've covered a lot of different things. We've answered some of the questions that people sent into the show, either via Facebook or either I had a couple of emails to me, but we went over ideas for good first date, and then just things to watch out for, you know, with you know, dealing with relationships, because this is such a time where people are feeling at their worst, and they don't feel chosen, you know, by someone special because of the Valentine's holiday, and It's sad that people have to go into a place of solitude and depression because of a holiday, but we have to find within ourselves, things that make us happy to do things so we're not conditioning to feel that way around a certain time. And trust me, I know that when you want to be in a relationship with somebody, it is difficult to deal with seeing people holding hands, kissing, exchanging chocolates and flowers and things of that nature. But if you know that time is coming up, you know, engage in some community activities, because it could be also that you're not making yourself available, or, you know, putting yourself in positions to really meet wonderful people. I've been blessed because I've the real estate industry for a long time, so I've met a lot of people because everything career that I've ever had I've always dealt with people, and I just connect with people a lot. So, you know, it's just, you know, I've never experienced not being able just to meet a guy or someone, because it's, you know, this the industry that I've always been in. And but you know, some of those things that, you know, that keeps you from finding love could be is because you're not making yourself available to be found. You know, you won't find love. Love won't knock on the door. So if you're not a social person, get into some, you know, if you don't like the club, like I'm not a clubber or things of that nature, but I will, you know, go to community events. There's always community papers, whatever your city is, you can, they always have things paper where you, there are certain events, go to them. You never know who you will meet. And then 9 times out of 10, if you're going to something that you enjoy doing, you're going to meet somebody that shares something common with you, because you're meeting in a location where the both of you are already enjoying something in common. So that's one way of just kind of meeting, making yourself more available, so that you won't be in a position where you're alone or you know, being depressed about Valentine's Day. All righty. Yeah, son of man. Yes, marriage life is demanding. I wish son of man could call in. This call-in number is 917-932-8881. I've never been married, but I've been asked. But I am going to make myself more available because, you know, really when you have these kind of shows, you know, there are things that you kind of preach to yourself also. But, I chose not to be married until I was definitely ready. Lady Serenity, all righty. She said, I love married life. My husband is my best friend. That is so wonderful, because that is a great point, is that, you know, you have to marry your best friend. My grandparents were married 60 years. And, you know, just some of the wisdom borrowed from their relationships. She told me about some things that happened in their marriage, but they brought it together and kept it together 60 years. So it doesn't mean that, you know, marriages and things will not come with their set of, you know, temptations or trials or issues. But when a person, when you truly love your husband and your wife and you guys are best friends, that makes all the difference in the world of you keeping it strong and together. And I can speak on that because, you know, I've learned from some of the wisest women that have ever walked the face of the earth, you know, knowing how to keep your marriages together. I used to work for the IRS, and there was this lady, I used to call her mother, but she used to teach, you know, talk about, you know, her marriage. At that time, she was married 30 years to her husband. I always hear people say that you have to be married to your best friend to make a relationship stick that long. That is one of the most beautiful things ever. My grandmother told me before she passed on is that she thought that I would be in a relationship like that because of the way she saw the way that I, you know, handled my, you know, my relationship, because it is very important for me to, you know, be with a person that is my best friend. You know, I'm a lovable person, so I say. But you know, it's important to, you know, be able to know that your love is worthy love. And so if you know that about yourself, you won't just give it just to anybody else. You got to treat your love that you have, your heart, like a treasure. And, you know, and you can't let yourself be discovered by the wrong person, because the wrong person will just take off with the treasures and just run with it and leave you empty. You know, that's the only way that I can, you know, put that, is that, you know, you're left empty if you, you know, open up your treasures to the wrong person. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of just really encourage women and men, because, you know, man, we did have a young man sending his question about, you know, he loves the person that he with, but he has a difficult time with expressing it. So, you know, if we learn to compromise and kind of see one another, you know, where we are in our relationships, and try to understand one another more, because that is very essential in a relationship, is understanding the person. Because just because a person can't express themselves in words how they love you doesn't mean that they don't love you. It could mean that something stemmed from their childhood where they just weren't taught that. And, you know, and that's what I, you know, explained to the young man who sent in the question, that sometimes, you know, people aren't taught that they may have been in a broken home where, you know, people just didn't exchange words, I love you, or give out hugs. And so when they meet somebody in their adulthood, they can't express it because they're not familiar with that whole process. So it takes time for a person to get to that point, because once you get grown and you know you want to love somebody else, you'll find a way to get yourself off that path of not being able to express, and then just express it and show it in the way that you know how best. All right. Lady Serenity, yes, I have valued the friendship first, then the marriage. Friendship makes you stay true in your marriage. There's always temptation. Yes, I agree with you, Lady Serenity. I've been watching marriages and a lot of people, you know, I've seen some really great marriages, and I've witnessed some marriages fail. But one of the things that I take from learning from all the people that surround me is that it's very important that we understand that, you know, people will tempt you, that there are people who are unhappy themselves, and if they see somebody happy, they allow themselves to be open to be used, to initiate evil, intent to, you know, hurt somebody else's marriage because they're hurting. And so you got to be always, you know, mindful of those type of things too. And sometimes people, and I've witnessed couples that were very happy get into, altercations because of somebody else interfering in their marriage. So I don't think that it's just a lot of things that we have to pay attention to. And over the years that I've been teaching myself and kind of learning from other people's issues, and then learning from them, and then seeking the higher power to show me how to be married and, you know, prepare me for, you know, being a wife, because I truly believe that it's a process. I just didn't want to step into it. All my friends, both my sisters are married, and they have wonderful husbands. And I have other friends that are married. They married young. But I was just not one of those people who wanted to just get married for the sake of being married. And my family would attest to that. I was never that little girl that dreams about being married, having the big white house and the picket fence and the two kids and the dog. I'd never, you know, fantasized about that. But when I did begin to think about marriage, I knew that I wanted it to be right. And I didn't, you know, although I've been asked several times, for my hand in marriage, it was just came down to a point, is that it had to be right. And they were wonderful guys, but you can meet a wonderful man, but it still not be the right person for you. And I do find a lot of women who find themselves in that position because they, you know, because he's a good guy. There are other things that you have to think about before you jump into the situation. And don't allow yourself to even think that this may be the first and only last time that someone may ask you, because I'm going to just, you know, be real with you, you know, just share some with you about me. I've been asked 5 times for my hand in marriage. But, you know, it's just, you know, I attract people and I just send them to that Mary Mo, but I don't know if it's because subconsciously I attract them because they know I won't say yes or something. I don't know. But I think that we do have options, and we don't have to accept the first person that says, you know, will you marry me? Because it feel like, you know, if I don't say it yes now, then, you know, it may not happen again. So you've already said, doomed yourself to even possibly meeting anybody else in the future. But now I'm at that point that I am very flexible and very, you know, I feel that I am in my life, at a point in my life that it's time for me to get married. I'm going out of my 30s, and I think it's right for me. I think it's the right time. I think it's the right situation. And I feel like love is getting ready to tap me on my shoulder. And I feel that every day. I feel like it's just it's here already in my midst. And I feel like I've already known this person, but it's you know, in times to come, that it will be revealed to me. And I'm not going to get into religious thing, but I think it's just I'm a very spiritually driven person, not a religious person, but a spiritually driven person. And I feel like all things are put in divine order. So, you know, that's another thing, you know, that you have to consider if you, you know, serve whatever God that you serve, that if you need to receive that message that this is the person that you need to be with also. And I think a lot of people just go blindly into situations when not even considering all of that. Because you have to, if in order for you to be whole in a relationship with anybody, you have to bring your 50% of it, and he has to bring his 50%. If he brings 49% and you bring in 50, it ain't going to work. If you bring in 60-40, it still ain't going to work. I don't care if the numbers do add up to 100. It still ain't going to work. So you have to be 150-50 to make that whole. So I am so excited. And, wow, thank you, Lady Serenity. I certainly appreciate it. And I appreciate your comments in the chat room. yes. I do agree that I think of you, and perhaps I'll be talking about it on the show one day, that I've met my significant other. All righty. Well, we have 6 more minutes remaining in the show, and this has just been wonderful for me. And I just want to just send out encouraging part of me as a person. I just love to encourage people and to keep people motivated about life and try to help them to have the best possible life as possible. It's up to them to do that, but, you know, if I can render any type of information or any resources, and, you know, I like to share that with people, and I like to get people thinking about things in their life and how they can, you know, better their lives in any way that they can. So I just want to encourage anybody that's listening, and I know people that are going to be listening in the archive, is that don't make this an occasion for you to be depressed or down for not having a significant other. But create your own environment for yourself to be discovered by your true love. Find yourself doing things within your community, or, you know, I've been very fortunate just to be able to, you know, be a people person and be in industries where I meet a lot of people. But if you're not in that type of situation where you meet a lot of people and it's very difficult for you to meet a lot of people, I don't like to tell people to go to church and find, you know, because I don't want you to take your focus off of what you're supposed to be doing at church, because God will take care of that if the person's at the church that you're supposed to meet. But I would say get more involved with your community activities, because in our community, it's just a really great family community. It's just something going on all the time. And, I mean, it's just, you know, festivals and different things like that. You know, if you need to know how to enjoy yourself, love yourself, and then you'll draw someone else, like, you know, to you. You'll just draw because you're loving yourself. And so I want to encourage everybody to do that. And I am going to play a little old school music to take us on out of here tonight. And again, I just want to take this time for all of those of you that are in the chat room. I certainly appreciate your presence. Black Homeschoolers, Lady Serenity, Son of Man, The Bree, and Trisho, Miss Oracle, White It Out. I just so appreciate you guys showing up and tuning into the show this evening. And I'm going to take the show out with some old school music here. And I'm probably going to surprise you guys with this one. But this is one of my favorite songs, but it's real old school. And it's by Heatwave, entitled Always and Forever. I want to say good night, God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
Always and forever, each moment with you is just like a dream to me that somehow came true. And I know tomorrow will still be the same, 'cause we've got a life of love that won't ever change. And every day, love me your own special way, melt all my heart away with a smile. and one day loving you. Forever and a day.